And here we are, and now we are in Tokyo, Japan, the f world famous Budokan Arena.
And a cheap trip. If I wasn't stumbling over my goddamn words, I had a good joke. I was gonna make it a Cheap Trick reference, but I stink.
Yeah, a lot of famous rock concerts held here, that's for sure, over the years.
Oh, Bob Seger.
Yeah, Dylan.
Dylan, I gotta tell you, here's the funniest thing. I didn't realize that until tonight when all those albums said live at Budokan. Because the way the word Budokan sounded, I've been assuming my entire life it was an outdoor theater that maybe at one time was some sort of a temple.
Yeah, Buddha,
Then
right.
the Budokan, well, yeah, maybe that, yeah, Budokan. I thought it was like, kind of like out here we have Red Rocks,
Yeah.
which, at one point was a place where Native Americans had holy rituals
Right.
and stuff. So I thought it was sort of like they're Red Rocks. And
Nope.
there's the chin.
There's the pelican.
Pelican.
With a pretty beautiful robe on. I mean, say what you will about Inoki. I mean, he did have a good look, presence.
Oh, amazing. He was a goddamn movie star.
So we're in for something here, folks.
Yes.
This is going to be the opening ceremony of the match, essentially.
Yes.
Who knows what we're going to get?
There we go.
Oh,
Fred Blassie's dressed up for the occasion.
let's see
He's
him.
wearing the world's smallest tie. Oh
Yes,
no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. It's a kerchief. I
very
actually thought he was wearing
stylish.
a small. I actually thought he was wearing a small corduroy green tie
Like
on a polo shirt.
a 1940s
Yeah,
style
exactly.
tiny tie.
No, he's doing the. The Fred from Scooby-Doo. Look.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
Orange.
look at that thing. I don't know. It ain't working. It looks like fucking Oliver Hardy's tie. Hey, it looks like Billy Day, right?
Yeah, I mean, on Ali has quite the entourage.
Oh, that guy, the guy in the gray suit, the brother in the gray suit, looks like that. Young Billy Dee, circa Brian song. I love Brian Piccolo. Tonight, he needs you to all love him too. Oh.
Wow. What a team he has with him.
And,
So, Ali, before this, his last fight was in Germany against a German fighter, a couple months before this. He was starting
Baron von Raschke.
Baron von Raschke. Waldo von Erich, actually.
Okay.
He was starting to decline as a fighter at this point. He had a fight with Jimmy Young earlier in the year where basically it went the distance and Ali got the decision, but most experts say that Jimmy Young won the fight, but
Yeah, yeah. I was actually wrong when I said this was Ali in his prime. Not in his prime as a fighter. That was a few years
no, the
earlier.
prime of his stardom or
Prime of
peak.
stardom. Yeah, his prime as a fighter, it's hard to say because this is 76 and just like 4 years earlier, oh, he was just, the greatest. The greatest. But whether or not that was his prime or the last great burst,
He was 34. He regained the title, the heavyweight title in 1974 against Foreman in Zaire, Rumble in the Jungle. Then in 75, he had the thrill in Manila against Joe Frazier, which is his most legendary fight, perhaps, where, he almost quit. Like, he was so exhausted in that fight, and it was such a crazy, crazy fight. Fought in like extremely hot conditions in the Philippines, and just anyway, he was never really the same again after that fight. And like I was saying, the fight with Jimmy Young earlier in '76, he basically lost the fight, but he was given the decision based on his reputation, basically.
But I highly recommend also the documentary When We Were Kings. Yeah. For anyone who's never seen it,
yes.
It's about the Ollie Foreman.
Yeah.
So, but much, much more. I feel it's not just one of the best documentaries ever made. It's one of the finest films ever made.
It's great. Awesome. I love it. Yeah.
All right. Oh, he has a sister to give him his flowers this time. That's a great touch. Yeah, I've been getting flowers all week from pretty geisha girls. And now what are we going to do to infuriate this crowd? I want Pam Grier to bring me my goddamn flowers.
Foxy Brown.
Oh, yeah, that disinterested Japanese young man.
Maybe some, is that the announcer? I was going to say some random Japanese celebrities from the time.
Yeah, is he a bored young teenage star? Yes. Oh, who the fuck said Idi Amin?
Well, one of the Muslim people in his entourage, for sure.
Was Fez.
Wow, it's like that's a awesome. Battle royal right now for.
I know. You think you have an entourage? Over here to my left is the entire Gladys Knight and the Pips. And over here are the Pointer Sisters. I'm the greatest.
Plus Freddie fucking Blassie.
Yeah. You can handle that and no care. Earth, Wind, and Fire to the left. Fred Blassie just standing in the middle of that humanity. And of course, sticking out like a sore thumb because he knows what he's fucking doing.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
I'm going for a short green tie, banana outfit. That'll work, honey.
Playing to the nosebleeds is Blassie.
Is this the anthem?
Yep. First, the American National Anthem.
Oh, wait, no. Wait, the Pointer Sisters are going to sing the fucking anthem?
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, by the way, not the Pointer Sisters, really, people, but, you know, just...
If we could read Japanese, we could, we would know their names right now, I guess.
Heaven needed a champion. If you're singing a wrestling ring, that's the only song I want to hear, right. Motherfuckers.
Well, it's good that you referenced that, because we are short both Parv and Pete this evening.
Yes.
And we used to joke when one of them didn't show up for a recording that they had died.
Well, one of them has at least died inside.
Parv has died in a few different ways in the last couple months.
Oh, no, I'm talking about over the last 2 days, my friend.
Well, yes, I'm referring to the European Union, Britain leaving it, and then also Parv's wrestling fandom is flickering.
Yes. I know, I'm worried about him. You know, if he tells me he doesn't like to eat pussy anymore, I'm going to call the authorities in Wales and say there's a possible suicide.
We need to cheer him up. I kind of wanted to, ask him to make an exception and join us tonight if he could to lift his spirits.
I'm sorry. I have so much pussy to eat tonight.
Yeah. Hopefully he's having fun somewhere because, yeah.
No, he only does that, to be polite. I was polite all night long.
And, of course, Pete,
Pete just... Here's the thing. Parv has experienced things that have caused him to die inside a little bit. If Pete was made to watch this, Pete would die inside.
Yes. So for his health, he had to avoid this.
Yeah, so either way, that's why you have the two-man power trip.
We go anywhere, Johnny. There's no footage that is too bad for us.
But we're also the ones who drink. So
that's true. Well, Pete's known to indulge. No,
I mean during the show.
But not during the show. No. That's true.
It's like, why do you guys love the shitty genre matches so much? Give me one clue.
Well, I watch the footage sober, usually. But, yeah. I just love.
Oh, I usually watch the footage high. So
yeah, no, I usually have to watch the footage in the daytime. I have no choice. So yeah.
Right.
I watch that garbage.
So
don't sober. Yeah, oof. I know. So, well, 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been a problem.
No.
Yeah, I'm the true titan of wrestling. I watch 70s WWF sober as
hell. There's like 8 referees in the ring. It's a little up.
Yeah, well, there's some interesting personalities in the ring.
Dick Cavett, apparently.
Dick Cavett. Carl Gotch, the god of wrestling, is in Inoki's corner. Pretty big in New Japan Wrestling at this time.
He's big in Japan.
One of the famous, you know, shooters in wrestling.
Now, I do wonder something. Is the Gotch name just completely something that only a few people have used, but they're not related whatsoever? Like,
no relation at all.
Because obviously, I know the current Gotch in the Vaudevillains is not related to any of the Gotches, but was I was always wondering if this Gotch was related to the
Frank Gotch.
The Frank Gotch.
No. I mean, Carl Gotch is German, I believe. And Frank Gotch, of course, is American. I think he may have taken the Gotch name as a tribute.
Oh, okay.
And Simon Gotch of the Vaudevillains, name is, of course, not so much a tribute, but it's supposed to be a wink to the past.
It's a wink, but it's a tribute too. Because
I guess it is.
The only people who know, who associate anything with that name and the old timey thing, are people who have a sense of the history of wrestling and are going to go, okay, I like that. That's kind of cool. I mean, I can't imagine this. Right. Someone go, how dare that clown besmirch the Gotch name?
Yeah. You know, like, what? And it's also perfect because, you know, Frank Gotch was alive during the actual vaudeville era.
Exactly.
So it's a perfect tribute. The official referee for this match is Gene LaBelle.
Really?
Yeah. Judo Gene LaBelle.
Yeah. Do you think maybe by the middle of it, he thought he should like bend some nails and crush apples in his bare hands to entertain?
Right. Another shooter. I mean, LaBelle was legendary. And he himself had a famous match with a boxer in the early 60s. I want to say the guy's name was Milo Savage. It was a legit shoot fight.
Really?
Yeah. Where he won, LaBelle won, but he had, you know, more trouble than you would think against this boxer, like trying to take him down to the ground. It actually took him longer than he thought, but he did beat a boxer legit.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. As much of a shooter as you are, if you've been doing work matches for your career, and you go to take somebody down who's an athlete who does not want to go down.
Right.
And in boxing, you don't want to go down. You know, it's an instinctive part of staying on your feet. And you're a quick, fast athlete. You know, suddenly, when a guy's not cooperating with you, that kind of shit gets a little tough. Right.
So there's Gene LaBelle right there. Carl Gotch, we've seen already, he's the white young boy.
Young boy.
Entourage.
That is hilarious. This giant Vincent Price with gray hair.
And as far as the actual young boys, I'm not sure who they are. There's Carl Gotch on the left.
Yeah. And Danny Kaye is your referee.
Yeah, I know, he does look like him. Angelo Dundee's there. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, Ali, says the jacket. One of the most awkward bald head, balding heads that I've ever seen on a man.
What, the ref?
No, he's not in the picture anymore. But he's the one with the float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Well, no, but at least he's older.
That it referee looks like looks someone like shaved his head as a prank, basically, up the middle. And not that he's naturally bald.
It was Piper and Orton. No, the referee looks like he's 22, and he's fucking bald with the toilet bowl.
Well, okay, the time for talk is over.
All right.
The ceremony is over. There's a buzz. Definitely, you can feel a buzz. They don't know what they're about to see.
I'm feeling a buzz.
I'm buzzed. We got 15 rounds to go, Johnny. Okay. Dear God.
Yeah, remember we suggested making this a drinking game?
Right.
Every time there's a kick? No.
Well, no.
So Antonio dives in.
Here we go.
And there he is on his back. He's kicking.
So what you're seeing now, folks, is basically what you're going to see for 15 rounds. Spoiler alert.
Come on, get up. Ali bounces into the turnbuckles.
Oh.
You miss me, fool? What's he doing? Look, Gene. No one's gonna tell Gene LaValle that pants that red just aren't a good idea. I wish someone had told me that when I had actually pants that red. It was the '80s, folks.
I was gonna say, even in 1976, it's a bit much.
Well, they just have a top that works with it. He's business from the waist up and party from the waist down.
Radiating red pants by
Jesus Christ.
Gene LaBelle here. Ali.
Oh, Ali goes and they're kicking each other. So what was the story? What happened?
Well, it was supposed to be a work where Ali would lose with a ref bump, I think, at some point, and Ali would get like the visual knockout, but the ref was unconscious and didn't count it. So total wrestling. And then while also the referee was out, Inoki would, I don't know, kick him in the back of the head with an enziguri or something. Or while I guess maybe Ali was trying to get the referee up, I think this was what was supposed to happen. And then Inoki would get the pin, of course.
Right.
Although, who knows? I mean, it was supposed to be...
That sounds like perfect fantasy booking, but...
Yeah. Inoki was supposed to win. Like, Ali was...
There's a lot of American gimmick shit in that finish that I love. I'm like, boy, that's that sounds like... In this way, it's very convoluted, but everything makes sense.
But I don't know if that's true, but like... What is true is supposedly that Inoki was going to win, and Ali was going to be paid more money than he'd ever been paid in any fight before.
Right.
$6 million. And basically, he only got, I think, less than $2 million in the end. Because a lot of it was probably contingent on a lot of the ticket sales in the States at the closed circuit or something like that. I don't know. But after Ali came to Japan, he started to get cold feet on the idea of taking a dive, quote unquote, taking a dive in the boxing sense. Right. He didn't. I think a lot of people got in his ear saying, oh, you don't want to do this. You know, think of the publicity, you know, Ali takes a dive, that sort of stuff, getting back to the States. And basically,
that is okay. You know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that is because wrestling was still perceived. Everyone knew it was fake, but there was a negative stigma about it because people didn't say it was fake. They said, it's fixed.
Right.
You're right. So where Ali probably was like, well, no, I know what it is and I'm participating in it, you know, in this thing I love. Whereas nowadays that's a praised thing.
Mm hmm.
Fact that, you know, it could be that could be a thing, that could be a stigma, you know, that if he was willing to take a dive in the sleazy world of pro wrestling, you know, maybe he would take. I can see the logic in that.
Right. So basically, yeah, I mean, who knows? There's conflicting stories. But essentially what happened was that they decided that, well, it's not going to be a work anymore. It's going to be a shoot. But it couldn't be a real shoot because it would be too dangerous for Ali's sake. So apparently they came up with all these rules where Inoki, you know, couldn't take him down, couldn't really do much of anything. Hence, we have Inoki mostly on his back kicking at him.
Really? Because I always heard it was more once they decided what it was going to be, there was no way Inoki wanted to actually, you know, do anything getting close to, you know, he's standing right now, but.
Right.
You know, but get anywhere near close enough, you know, to actually get tagged by LA.
Well, I don't know. I mean, most people who...
Most of those people are wrestling fans, of course they're going to side with the wrestler, by the way.
Right. Well, I mean, usually people say, well, the boxer always has the puncher's chance, but the wrestler should win because he has so many more advantages as far as... The boxer has his fists and his punching, but the wrestler can, you know, if the wrestler ever gets a hold of the boxer, it's over.
Right. What I'm saying is maybe you got to a point of, you know, doing what they're doing, because neither one of them wants to risk actually getting hurt, and or a pride got in the way. Sort of
I think
on,
it was
on
a,
both sides.
Yeah, I think it was a mix of a whole bunch of things, right? And yeah, it turned into what we're seeing right now.
Just think about it. Let's say Inoki tackles Ali. You know, it's not going to be like a spear. He's just going to get him, and then the back of his head is open for rabid punches from Ali. So any sort of a takedown that's not at the legs.
Right.
And that he doesn't want his head anywhere near Ali, so that's why it's all kicks. You know, because as while you're trying to struggle a guy down who's fighting against you,
mm-hmm.
there's a few seconds open for Ali to just go pop into your head. And
true.
You don't want that to happen.
And, you know, since we're talking about, like, the motives and then, you know, how this all went down, you know, I should mention there's a book coming out. Actually, it was just released a few days ago. It's called Ali versus Inoki.
Really?
Yeah, it's by Josh Gross, and it's subtitled The Forgotten Fight That Inspired Mixed Martial Arts and
wow, really?
And launched sports entertainment. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's quite a bold claim, but it's, you know, because like we've mentioned, this is the 40th anniversary of the fight. And I read some of the on Amazon. You can read a bit of a preview, and I read the first few pages, and it seems like it's a really interesting book. And Meltzer's interviewed extensively for it, and I based on what I've read, I recommend it, and I'm actually gonna get a copy myself.
If it really covers a lot of just the details of the day to day shit,
mm-hmm.
I'm all in too. I'm not quite sure about the tagline there to hype it.
Understand it as using it as a way to sell copies, of course.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, that's why. Oh, hell yeah.
But
I'm like, if it's more history than trying to prove that fucking thesis, then I'm all into.
Right. Well, in Japan, they do say that in a way this did... Or it's at least been retconned to be the first MMA fight or something that started MMA. Like, because in Japan, MMA took off huge before it ever took off really huge in the States. And a lot of it was because of Inoki's efforts. And eventually in like the early 2000s, after Inoki's done as a wrestler, he does get heavily involved in shoot fighting and promoting
right, but you are
and all that.
But, But like you had said, he'd been doing this for a while because well, that's what he
worked,
had to do.
Yeah, the worked shoot fights, right? Like I don't.
Right, but that made him probably realize that there is actually a market for real fighting
right.
between people in a wrestling context.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this played a little part. Man, we could bring in a boxer too, you know. Because I watched those original UFCs, you know, that were just human cockfights.
Right. Oh, yeah. That just, yeah, exactly. Human cockfights. Yeah.
You know, but I wouldn't posit that this inspired anybody.
No, but it's been kind of mythological.
You're somebody.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one guy who loved this. And he's like, I'm going to write a book defending this goddamn match.
Right. But no, there are some people that it's, you know, it has become like this mythic fight.
It's infamous. It's infamous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, everyone knows about it. Well, not everyone, but it's famous for all the wrong reasons. But nevertheless, it is famous.
Right. I think, you know, in different cultures, it's seen differently. I think in Japan, it's seen as, I mean, at the time, it was considered, yeah, like a huge disappointment. I mean, of course, it was a lot more important in Japan than it was in the States.
Oh, yeah.
The day it happened and like the hype leading up to it. And
oh, you know,
then,
that's a really good, okay,
like
you know
its
what?
Legacy is yeah. is definitely more important. Okay. And here we go.
This is me and my sister fighting in the bedroom. Surprisingly enough, Jean LaBelle was there. No, I wanted to rescind, I think, because you make a really good point there. It's like we said, in America, this is, why the fuck is Ali fighting, doing this with some Japanese wrestler we've never heard of? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll check it out. Ugh, this sucks. There, it's their hero
mm-hmm.
against, you know, the biggest star in the world.
Exactly. You know,
but there's this Antonio. No, he is not unknown. He's a huge star as well. So that would stay more of a positive in the collective unconscious, I think. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But I mean, even in Japan, like after this happened, and for years, it was known as like the boring match of all time.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're dubbies.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
But given time and all that, and you know, I'm sure that's why there's more of a positive,
yeah,
reminiscence of it, like you said.
Yeah, and Inoki himself, you know, shaped that narrative over the years.
Did he do it? Did he do it as a politician?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Inoki wore many hats in his.
Japanese politics is so corrupt that, or even not corrupt. Inoki becomes, you know, a member of the Diet, I believe it's called.
Yes,
and passes legislation that says people must remember this, and my Desert Island match. And great works of art and influential to the Japanese people.
Well, Inoki's done all kinds of crazy shit. I mean, he went to Iraq to negotiate with Saddam Hussein about, I think there was some sort of Japanese hostage situation at one point. he went to North Korea in 1995. This is a pretty famous story. With WCW involved, where they did multiple shows at this gigantic stadium in North Korea.
And you know who was there.
And Muhammad Ali was involved.
Muhammad Ali, yeah.
And the thing is, after this, Inoki and Ali remained friends. And they became friends because of this and then remained friends for years. Not only that, in 1995 in North Korea, but when Inoki retired in 1998, I believe it was, Ali was there for his last match in Japan, and the whole.
That's, era... you know, I guess that might tell you something about how, you know, Ali did love wrestling. Whatever actually happened here, is probably so complicated. Because I mean, right there, Ali was trying to sell. Ali was like climbing up the thing, but he was doing like the fucking Stymie from the Little Rascal, googly eyes, scared. You know, he's doing a little bit.
Oh yeah, no, Ali.
I want to check out this fucking book.
Yeah, me too. Because yeah,
I just can't figure it out.
Because it's complex enough to warrant like a 200-300 page book. That, like, from what I said, from what I read, it's very well done, very detailed, and I'm gonna be ordering that very shortly. It's a very interesting story.
Is this guy paying us or?
No, not at all. I probably could have finagled a free copy somehow if I really wanted to, but I'm no Chris Zellner or David Bickle's fan.
No, that was perfect. That's perfect. I've heard about this great new product. Bah, I don't want any of that new product. But let me tell you about the product. Well, that sounds fine. I'm going to try that new product. That knows every commercial ever. And another kick. Good Lord, it's a good thing we didn't do the whole take a drink every time there's a kick clause that we thought of.
I remember first seeing clips of this on like a sports bloopers tape or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or a TV show on sports bloopers.
Oh, so did I.
Where they just showed like, haha, look at this funny Ali in a match against this funny Japanese guy that just kicked at him the whole time.
I do remember something like that too. I'm sure, probably not even the same show.
It may have been. It was an American show.
I'm just saying that like those types of shows.
Right, like a dime a
plethora.
Dozen. Yeah, yeah.
Of them, and they all used the same footage.
Yeah, but it was definitely the stuff in the corner where they're both kicking at each other. That was what they were showing.
Yeah, like little kids.
Yeah, that. So it was on either a tape or a TV show that I saw when I was quite young.
Was it a double bill with Dorf on golf?
Yeah, it was one of those things. Well, we're into round five, and we've done not too bad so far.
We're only, what, a third through?
What else can I talk about? Well, this whole thing with this fight between Ali and Inoki, it's always fascinated me, and I've been wanting to do a podcast on this.
No, Inoki just got him right in the ass. No, and Ali was just like, had to dance it off like a Charlie horse him a little.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently Ali's legs get pretty beaten up in this whole
thing. I've heard, yes, they do, but I've heard, like, the rumors, I remember back in the day, like, you know, one of the reasons that Ali had to retire was because his knees were all fucked up from this.
Right.
And But I believe that's been proven to be complete bullshit.
Oh, totally. That's, like, the extreme, you know, exaggeration of this.
But I believe that.
But he did. It did. He was hurt. He had to, you know, go to the hospital. And, you know, apparently he, like, went back to the States and didn't really get it checked out properly. And it ended up kind of getting worse or something. But, yeah, he definitely got hurt from this.
But it became one of those exaggerations. It was like, he was just about to be diagnosed with fucking Parkinson's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there we go. He's a little wiggle. Ali does the big wiggle. And, oh, no, he's shaking his booty at him. Dancing around. Yeah, I figure. Look, I'm gonna be fucking entertaining.
Yeah, you gotta do something.
I gotta do fucking something.
Because he was a showman.
Oh, completely.
But those kicks, you can start to hear they sound like they hurt.
I got your foot now, motherfucker.
Oh, Ali
with the takedown. Ali with the takedown.
Wow, and the crowd suddenly got into that.
Well, that's hilarious because Ali fucking gets the goddamn takedown.
Yeah.
And is not in any position to punch because he's holding him. Whereas if that had happened the other way,
yeah,
and Ali would have gotten a few shots in. There was perfect opportunity to punch a guy
right
in that. Okay, that was kind of a fine moment.
Yep, that was definitely the highlight of the fight so far.
You know, I am so Jesse Venturing, cheering for the bad guy here. The American. The greatest of all time.
Well, I mean, Oginoki doesn't come off very heroic, just riding not around really on his ass on the...
and there you go. That's another, what a mistake, is that, okay, he's being strategic. The crowd's like, oh, just wait. He's being strategic. Eventually, it's like, get up. You look like you're scared.
Yeah.
Especially while Ali's doing that. Bring it on. Come on, bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it I'm no.
That's that Ali look. Look at that. That's that Ali look. That's the real look. This ain't the guy throwing fake jabs at Dusty Wolf or whatever.
Buddy Wolf.
Buddy Wolf. I was like, I will, just okay.
Fuck you up. Yeah.
You come on in here, you know what it ain't gonna be pretty. That's a big jaw. That's a big goddamn target.
Yeah, well, it's supposedly a shoot now, so anything goes, I guess.
Oh, I'm calling it as one.
Round 7. So as I was saying earlier, I've been wanting to do a podcast on this for years, like pre-Titans. When I first got into podcasting with my friend Moss, one of my ideas was to do like wrestling shows where I talk about something that's like hasn't really been discussed much in wrestling history, inspired by ESPN's 30 for 30 series, actually.
And Moss said, that's ridiculous. No one will listen to that. He's been proven right.
Well, our show only made it to episode 4. It was called The Fringe Scholars. And it was alternating between me teaching him something and then him teaching me something. And whenever I taught him something, it'd be about wrestling. And he was usually about...
Did you plug that at...
It's still in my signature on PWO.
Okay, that's where I've seen that.
The site. Yeah.
Because I'm going, I know I never listened to that, but I'm now that you mentioned it, I know that.
Yeah, because, I saw the link in my signature, just in case anybody's interested, because there's 4 episodes.
Oh, dude, I still want people to listen to all the water maneuvers.
There you go. Yeah, we all have our old podcast.
Except for the part of the shows that we just did recaps of SmackDown that week, because everything's totally dated. But we did a lot of interviews and bits that just edit those out and put those out there.
Oh, you took them down.
Oh. There we go.
Another high spot. So anyway, originally I was thinking that was going to be an episode of The Fringe Scholars, but... That never happened because the show abruptly ended after 4 episodes.
So I caught him stealing from the fucking funds.
Yeah, exactly.
He's embezzling.
Embezzling.
We haven't spoken since.
Yeah. He's actually going to be a groomsman at my wedding, so we're still good buddies.
I thought you were already married.
Well, I've been married in the sense that I've lived with the same woman for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
But technically not married in the eyes of the god or country.
I'm a fucking sinner. But, whatever.
So anyway, well,
what's the big day? What's the big day?
Big day is May 21st, 2017.
Oh.
on Vancouver Island in Victoria. So, Johnny, if you're in the area, you're more than welcome to come to my wedding.
Who knows? Who knows?
Hey, BC, we love weed up here too, so.
Okay, just make me a reservation, and I forgot about that. Oh, that's that. Oh, look at that now. That shot got him
Yeah.
right on, and he landed right on his hiney,
Right on his
where he'd
hat.
been kicked earlier by the master. Look at that look.
Just like the
Oh, he's
thrill
just like,
in
oh.
Manila now.
Oh, he's like, oh. All he has is this look like, oh, this is what this is now, huh?
What
You
the hell is this?
know, it's like he just realized how fucking ridiculous this was. Just the look on his face there. He's like, my fucking ass and my knees are killing me.
Eight more rounds.
There's more of this shit. I'm not getting the money that I was promised. And they're right. Everyone's gonna laugh at this. Fuck. Okay, hold on. I'm the greatest. Let me shake it off. Look at this honky with his fucking his what his hair is orange, his shirt is blue, and
Pants are
his
red.
pants are red. It's the worst. Gino G.
Judo
Lebel can
Jean
stick.
LaBelle, everybody.
Fuck, you know what? Fuck him. Oh yeah, they complain about band-aids now in wrestling. Oh, I have a callus on my foot. He put a band-aid on his foot, and now he has to put his boot back on. It is a shoot. A really boring one.
Exactly. This is
I can't compete with this corn.
it's like the old wrestling matches from the beginning of the 20th century where they're like, well, we have to make them 2 hours long to make people believe they're real.
Yeah, well, that's the I mentioned before, but in The Music Man, which is the show I'm in, it takes place like 1912 in Iowa, and after the Harold Hill like mesmerizes the crowd, gets them all hyped up, the mayor looks at his deputies like, "I need you to get this man's credentials. He's a spellbinder. I haven't seen Iowa people this excited since the night that Frank Gotch and Strangler Lewis laid on the mat for 3.5 hours without moving a muscle."
It's true. I mean, yeah, there was matches that went that long.
And for anyone who would ever go, boy, that must have been great. No, that was when you had, there was nothing else.
Well, the idea was that, well, we can't just have a 10-second fight where, like most shoot fights wouldn't last too long
Right, but what I'm
because
saying that would not have been any sort of a form of entertainment
I
if
know.
it
They
was a
went
bit
too
better
far in
entertainment.
the other direction where it's like, well, we'll drag it out
Or
for whatever.
sport. It's like,
Right. Like a
because,
baseball game is 2 hours, so a wrestling match has to be 2 hours.
and at, well, at the time, it, I mean, the whole idea of organized sports being super popular was a very new thing. Baseball had made a firm grip, but it was yet to explode into baseball. Football was non-existent. Everything else was pretty non-existent. And you had fighting and wrestling, the legit stuff, because it's like, well, we can do this. People are going to buy tickets for it because there's nothing else to watch. There's no radio. There's I think this idea of going to a big sporting event, and you could have two assholes lay there for 3 hours and not do shit. And be like, oh, it's gripping. It's more gripping than staring at the fireplace, yes. Or reading the same book over and over again.
I mean, the fights were hyped so well then
Oh, God.
they were
The
able
jumps
to
off the
attract
walls
huge
and shit.
crowds, but yeah, they were usually very dull affairs.
Oh, the hype. I love looking at those old posters and the poses and shit. That was badass.
It really is a testament to promotion.
Totally.
The art of promotion.
Here we're seeing when the art of promotion.
Well, the art of promotion for the in Japan, this was great. I mean,
No, I was about to say some a few misses, but the art of promotion here was quite sound, quite good. But
the we're seeing the dull payoff. I'm not sure what the issue exactly is with Ali or Inoki's boots, but they're getting taped.
He's wearing them out.
Complaints from Angelo Dundee.
There's tape on his boots.
We need Blassie to get up on the apron and start waving his cane or something.
You really think at some point, you notice he's not out there. If he is, he's buried.
Yeah, he's very invisible right now.
You know, that's like, well, it's for this now. Okay, old man, you can just go back here.
Miss G, where they went back.
Now they're actually going to actually fight. You can't be out here.
Exactly.
Maybe he was involved in that finish.
Oh, maybe.
We can't remind people about the goofiness of the wrestling here.
There was a brief clip of a cowboy.
A Japanese cowboy. I thought it was he was wearing more like one of those 80s Australian hats where it's pinned up on one side.
Oh, maybe.
My eyes catch things, bro.
Ali's legs, I think, are taking a beating because there's been some pretty sound kicks here by Inoki.
Well, I'm sure it ain't pleasant. I'm just saying I don't think that it really was like...
No, it didn't end as...
When the doctor was like giving him his physical and he was like, wow, champ, it seems that you've got something called Parkinson's disease. What is it? Well, it's sort of... We're figuring out... will people think I'm punch drunk? Can I still fight? You can still fight if it weren't for those goddamn knees ruined by Antonio Inoki. It was a full body breakdown with a mental breakdown. He put on a lot of weight too.
Well, Meltzer did an amazing bio of Ali, and
you said that, and I was wondering how good it actually was.
It actually was really, really good, Johnny. And he mentions that people started noticing there was something wrong with Ali around 1977. So the next year was when the signs of Parkinson's started to really become apparent.
Yeah. And Parkinson's was not a known disease back then.
Right.
You know, so people immediately used to assume Ali. For years, everyone thought Ali was just, quote-unquote, punch drunk.
Yeah.
Not realizing what that actually means.
Yeah.
And I worked with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients. The idea like, well, he got his head punched so many times it gave him Parkinson's. That's not how it works. Inject Parkinson's. It's the potential was there. The brain was weakened by his chosen profession for something that was already in his genetics.
Right.
It's like he got beat up so bad in his career, came Parkinson's. No, that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
This match is giving me Parkinson's, by the way.
Yeah, we've done well to make it to round 9, and only now just really feel like, can this please end?
I'm trying to come up with more pants jokes. give me a...
We've covered a lot of stuff. What else is there about this whole spectacle that we haven't touched upon yet?
<Let's see. laughs> I'm not just trying to make fans jokes.
Okay.
Maybe he's trying to fit in with the New Japan guys. Ah, he's like he's their NWO ref. all the New Japan guys have red pants.
Oh, yeah.
Dundee. Oh, wow. Told you this was stupid.
Quite the highlight there. There isn't much. The crowd must be totally just disappointed with...
How could you tell?
I mean, ticket prices were sky high for this, too.
No, I mean, it's a Japanese crowd.
Right.
So he's like, boy, they're not enjoying this. How do you know?
The stoic
sitting on their hands anyway. They started booing and throwing shit, you know. They're like, oh, okay. Well,
they've been known to throw a good riot, and
just, yeah, but not at this.
No.
Yeah, those Japanese are, you know, they can be wacky. They sure can throw a riot. Like Pearl Harbor.
Well, this would have been the you know, because it's such a high profile thing, it would have been the non hardcore wrestling crowd. It would have been the fair weather.
Okay, wait, no, he's offering up his head, and Ali just gave him like are you serious? He gave him a little jab, but it was a definite. Are you fucking serious? And what happens? He goes, "Give me another one," and he drops right to his fucking asshole again.
Go ahead, I think the stats are that Ali only lands like 6 punches the whole match.
Oh my god.
We should have been judging the rounds, Johnny. It's too late for that.
You know, when I've watched boxing, I've never understood the whole points. I mean, I understand it, but watching it and then looking at what, this is how many points we scored based on all this stuff, I'm like, I don't, how fast is their vision to pick up on like every hit and tag? And you know, like, mine's not. Oh, here we go.
I think
it's a bear hug.
I've got to give it to Inoki so far as like actually doing stuff offensively.
Well, like,
Ali had the takedown.
What's Ali supposed to do? A fucking moonsault?
Moonsault. A power bomb.
Yeah, you know.
And an STF. Tap him out. That's what I'm expecting.
Oh, Judo G. Lavelle is on the take. You kicked him with the point of the boot. Fuck you. Inoki's got tape boots.
Yeah.
He's sneaky.
Loaded. He is a sneaky Japanese.
Sneaky fucking Jap.
That should have been the finish. Would be Inoki busting out the salt.
Oh my god.
Blinding.
You know, no. Somewhere in New York, Vince Jr. is going, oh god, what I could have done here. Oh god.
That would have been
best. I'm gonna have to eat cat food. If they'd only let me handle this.
Nothing but pure salt right in the eyes.
I tell you what, fucking, if they had put Vince McMahon, even at that young age, in charge of this and everything was gonna go down, I bet you'd be an amazingly entertaining fucking thing.
Well,
he would have made everyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have gone out and done business, and he would have, but hook or by crook or whatever, and it would have fucking happened.
Oh yeah, I mean this. Yeah. No, he wouldn't
say what you will, but oh, who's this young? I'm Vince McMahon Jr.
You think they could have came to a compromise where Inoki would lose, but he would look good in losing, right?
Well, here's the crazy thing. Okay, you have the Inoki, who's his own booker, but there's no one promotion really behind Ali giving him like, it's like, and here's the contingent from New York who are advising on this investment. No, there's Ali and his people, and he liked Freddie Blassie. You know, I'm sure Vince Sr. wasn't on the horn giving his input.
Well, you never know. I mean, Vince Sr., it turns out, was quite involved in all the booking choices.
No, I don't think it would have made a goddamn difference with Ali.
Right. Oh, here we go.
Hmm. Kurt Angle stole that from Ali. What's funny is if Ali had didn't have gloves on and was actually twisting his ankle like that, it could have fucking hurt.
He would have tapped.
He would have tapped. Tapped to the greatest.
I beat you, Inoki, and that proves I'm the greatest of all time.
Well, he didn't lose.
That's true.
And just we did.
Everybody else did. The world did.
I'd like to see a mock-up of the famous Superman versus Muhammad Ali cover.
Yes.
But with the no-key and Ali in it. Same exact angle.
Right.
With all kinds of fucked up people in the crowd.
Yeah. Adams art.
So, yeah, that is your challenge, if you're still here. Put together some mock-up of the famous DC Muhammad Ali versus Superman cover.
Right.
With these two in it. Of course, someone has Inoki has to be on his back or whatever. And fill the crowd with faces that, you know, well, wrestling faces.
Right.
And stuff like that Titans would dig.
Yeah.
And you will win a prize. You will win. And no one's won it yet, but you could win your very own copy of Edge, the DVD set, A Decade of Decadence. You know, it hasn't been won in 4 years.
Yeah.
That's how elusive this trophy is.
Very.
Do you want to win this trophy? This trophy I will remember to send you.
Well, and we do know there is at least one person out there that is capable of making such a poster or mock-up.
I know. If there was only one guy who could really, really do that perfectly. I don't know. He used to make DVDs, eh?
Well, yeah. I mean, James, but there's also Michael, who would make the various posters for the WO podcasts.
That is true. Dude, I totally thought you were talking about James. I thought we were doing a callback.
That would be awesome if that was James's return. It's like, yeah. I'm back.
Hey, James, if you do listen to any of this shit still, you know, despite all the jokes or whatever, you can do that. Your Photoshop work, sir, par excellence. It was the funniest shit on PWO. The inappropriate Michael Hayes chasing after inappropriate Michael Hayes offering a bottle of whiskey to Jackie Onassis as she's cradling the brains of JFK in the back of the car is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. So, sir, if you do listen, let bygones be bygones and take on this challenge.
Yeah, well, I may even take on this
challenge. Ooh, well.
Because I'm known for my skills.
Not saying you don't have skills, bro.
We'll see.
It can be open to anybody. I'm just, you know, somewhere out there in a cave.
I don't necessarily want that Edge DVD, but yeah.
But of course you do. You'll get it the same day you get your Batista doll.
Just because I'm Canadian doesn't mean I like Edge.
Well, I like Edge, but anyway. Oh, all these mouthing off. Looking back at the screen, nothing's happened. Okay. Here is my... God.
The crowd has officially given up hope at this point.
Too polite to leave.
Yeah, that's true.
These rich Japanese businessmen who are in the front, you know, the people, like, basically wives are going, how much did you pay for these tickets?
Let's go live to the Astrodome and see how many people left in attendance there.
There's the guy pushing the broom.
They turned it off. Like, fuck it.
Did someone unplug that yet?
I think also in the ad, it was like on five giant screens.
Five.
It's like whoever invested in that in Houston...
No, I'll tell you what it was. I guarantee I know what those were. If they actually put screens on the field, I guess maybe that's it. But I was thinking the baseball stadiums of the day had five screens where they could. What am I saying? No, they couldn't. It was all lights.
Scoreboard sort of thing?
Yeah, I was I was quantum leaping ahead in scoreboard technology. Because I just remember, wait, I used to go to baseball games in 1976. No, they did not have that technology whatsoever.
Yeah.
It had to be five screens in the Astrodome.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. That just makes the whole beginning funnier.
I know. It's like,
got it, Dad.
What? Whoever invested in that declared bankruptcy.
Oh,
the next day.
Or there was a bet. here's what it is. Okay. Right around the same time the Houston Astros adopted the world's ugliest fucking uniforms.
Right.
Just orange and weird 70 things. They just were gross looking. And so someone lost a bet on this. He's like, I want these costumes. You know, they're going to do great for us. We're going to do the wrestling thing. It's going to be huge after the game. Want to make a bet? By win, we use these uniforms no matter what. No matter what anyone says, you got it, asshole. Damn it.
I think you've uncovered the secret history of the Houston Astros.
Well, you know, someone had to.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. It looks like they got older. It's just false. Oh, that is a very unfortunate bald spot.
You're that's what I mean. It's like.
No, what that is, though? It's not shaved. Old men in the 70s who would have that weird patch of the last bit of before you go bald that you just decide to shave would just let it go. That was. No man would just go shave part of it off. That was just not how it was done. I had one. It was like in the front of my head, and real small, but a tuft of hair in the front of my head. Everything behind it totally bald down to the toilet bowl. You know, I'm just like, I'm this is being shaved. See? Not hanging on. Speaking of hair. Dude, fucking. He looks like the Heat Miser. Look at that hair. Was he Chicken Ali for Foreign Objects?
I got nothing. This could have been great if it was booked like a wrestling match. And. Mm-hmm. You know, with Foreign Objects, ref bumps. Yes.
Now, speaking of Ali in wrestling, there was the famous only to people who read the magazines and or now people who got the Mid-South set was Ali did in the 80s. He must have needed the money because it was after his career was over pretty much. But he did a gimmick in Mid-South with Jake Roberts and the...
The Snowman.
Snowman, that's right.
Yeah, it was building to a match at the Superdome in New Orleans.
Right.
And it bombed big time.
Right.
Yeah.
But the famous story, I guess, and I've seen the footage, and it's nowhere near as egregious as people say.
I haven't seen the footage. I just know Meltzer's analysis was that it was pretty bad, but...
Well, no, I think it's on the Mid-South Center I've seen him.
Yeah.
It's not like, it was like Jake Roberts went out there and no-sold Muhammad Ali's punches.
Right.
And he got back to the locker room and was getting yelled at. He's like, hey, he doesn't have to come back and work here next week. You know, people are like, ooh. And I'm like, number one, if that actually happened, I'm like, wouldn't Bill Watson fired you, like, right on the spot? I kind of believe he would have, and but it's a great story.
Yeah,
but I've seen it, and he doesn't really. I heard no sell. I'm like, you know, he just like gets knocked out just for the 1-2-3, and then stands up and walks away.
Right,
that kind of shit. He just gets popped, does a flat back bump, pop up again, and he's feeding him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, oh, that's okay.
Right.
He's not selling him. He's just doing a pro wrestling, feeding him punches. And they don't look great, but he's not no selling. He's just unknocked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's until the end. By like the 6-1, you know, he's done. But it's more of a comedy spot.
Right. Yeah, that one is kind of crazy. I mean, Mid-South was an excellent promotion at the time, but they weren't too well known outside of their fan base.
Which is why I'm thinking maybe Ali needed the money.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it was building to something at the Superdome where, you know, that's a major arena and that, but yeah. And of course, he was also the referee outside the ring at WrestleMania 1.
Oh, yes. Oh, speaking of thinking it's real all of a sudden.
And up to the day of the show, he was billed as going to be the referee inside the ring.
Well,
wasn't he?
No, but like I said, I watched this live, you know, mm-hmm. when I was 15. So here's what it was. He wasn't billed as the in-ring referee. He was billed as the referee.
Right.
And they didn't substantiate it with in-ring. Now, apparently, there's stories that, you know, right during the show, they realized, fuck, Ali can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat.
Why Pat Patterson became
on the fly. Okay, maybe. If I was going to posit a theory, it'd be more Vince Jr. got Ali. It was already signed the contracts and everything. Money sent. Or, you know, money left in a bag in a garbage can somewhere. You know, Vince was working back then. And then it was clear that there was no way he could do it. He decided that, no, here's what we're going to do at the show. It was all planned for a while, but we just won't, you know, say he's a referee. And that it just seems like it makes more sense to me. It was like, I'm sure that Ali didn't show up to be the in-ring referee of the most important match in Vince Jr.'s life and show up the day of the show. And Vince go, oh my God, he can't even count to three. I think they would have had a few meetings beforehand. He was maybe using it. It was more using him. I don't think it was a last-minute decision. He was using him, but he never completely. But no, I'll tell you, I remember being disappointed as a kid. I'm like, oh, wait, Ali's what? And I was like, who's that guy? You know?
Yeah, Pat Patterson, yeah.
And again, I think it goes back to maybe a bit of my thing is a bit of a swervy thing, but not an out-and-out last minute swerve or lie.
Right.
Is that who are you going to put in that ring to, you know, be the guy who's controlling the shit with a non-wrestler?
Right, Mr. T. Yeah.
And make this all work and knows how to do everything. That's why Pat Patterson was the referee. I don't think it was a last minute decision.
Right. But the whole, like, former boxer being a special guest referee was a wrestling, you know, trope
since the 50s.
Yeah, with Joe Louis.
Actually, probably earlier, I would imagine.
Yeah, Jack Dempsey, I believe, did reffing. Joe Louis, of course, was one of the more famous ones.
It was a way to make a quick dollar that you might need because your career is kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Louis was famous, you know, for, you know, tax problems big time and having no money. And he actually did wrestling, like actual wrestling at certain points, I believe.
Yeah, Joe Louis got fucked.
Yeah. But so that was sort of that thing. And then, of course, Ali's like ties to Madison Square Garden and all that sort of thing. And it's a pretty big deal. But yeah, the story is basically like Pat went to talk to him that afternoon and realized that he was clearly not in his right mind anymore or whatever.
I just, like I said, it's like, you know, it happened that afternoon. Like,
right. Yeah. I mean,
Pat, because that's where I heard the stories from is Pat on Legends Roundtable. And Pat likes to you know, tell a tall tale. around reality like all the Alzheimer's like, do. It does it amazingly well.
Right.
The Mongolian Stomper. What?
The hell? Oh, that's right. Yeah. What did he ever do? Yeah.
What did he ever draw? Besides Canada, Michael Hayes. Well, Knoxville. Who gives a fuck about Knoxville? And now we're talking about Knoxville wrestling. So.
Well,
it's over.
It's over. Holy Yo, shit. Adrian, or something. I don't know.
Yo, Adrian, we didn't do it.
Yo, Carl. Yo, Carl.
Now they're praying.
Carl. Yeah.
It's like, it looks like a funeral service in there.
Here comes the decision.
Everyone just, the one brother, I got to take a picture of this shit. God damn. Sir, I'll take that care. Boy, he looks pleased. Yeah. But you know what? This is when they started that whole everybody gets a trophy bullshit.
Yeah.
Both of you get participation trophies for participating in the biggest boring piece of shit ever. Holy. Ew. Hey, we're all friends, huh? Hey, look, a pimp.
Couple pimps.
The guy just popped right in like, yo, where the fuck am I at? Popped right up. Damn, I must have made a wrong turn in Albuquerque. I wonder how often they recycled these fucking trophies.
Yeah, a lot of them look very similar.
Oh, because I mean, I've
some big ass trophies. Huh?
From I've read enough to know now that the trophy, you know, oh, do they get to keep those? No.
Too expensive. It's all for show.
Yeah, man.
I like being interviewed.
Oh, God. Was... Oh, that bed, he just bent that man over. Oh, God, what's going on in the middle of this fucking ring?